AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
We have like such a player-led team because we've had so many coaches. You know what I mean? Like when our first coach got fired, like my class, it was like we kind of banded together. Like, you know what I'm saying? Nobody left. Like, we didn't know what to expect. You know, we were coming off a 2-9 season. You know what I'm saying? But like, and just seeing how like a lot of the older guys who like, because a lot of our team didn't leave after our head coach got, after the first one got fired. So like, seeing how they kind of embraced us and was like, okay, whoever comes in, bro, like, we're tired of losing. We got to go to work.
We are here. Another episode of Not Even D2. Great episode we got today where we talk with Jacquez Moore, Duke football running back, really good player. Got high hopes for him, hoping to go to the league eventually. It was a really good episode. But before we talk about football, bro, it's opening night of the league. I don't know if you – I got my Thunder on. I can't even watch the ring ceremony tonight. I got class, so I'm sick. But talk to me. What you thinking heading into this season? What storylines you looking at? Talk to me.
Really excited for the NBA season to start. You know, once I saw, you know, I follow the Lakers fan page. So once I seen they posted that it was game day, I was like, yeah, it's time. It's about that time. But yeah, it's really, really excited for the NBA season to start. Like I just said, I'm really interested to see how the East plays out. Because I feel like there's a lot of, like the Knicks, the Cavs are two of the top teams, the Pistons. But, like, I'm really interested to see how, like, some of, like, the other teams, like, 6 through 8, and even some of the playing teams look. Obviously, we know about the West, that West is going to be a gauntlet this year with so many good teams. So, a lot of good things happen in the NBA right now. I'm really excited to see how, you know, the season plays out.
Nah, OD, it's going to be a good – I feel like every year people say, like, this is the most lit that NBA has been with the talent and stuff like that. But this year there's actually, like – you mentioned the West, and I obviously I'm going to say the Thunder, but there's, like, 5 or 6 teams that if they have one thing go right for them, like, if Amen Thompson or Reed Shepard's ready to be point guard, then the Rockets could be a title contender. If – Cam Johnson fits in smoothly with the Nuggets. They're probably the best team in the league. I can keep on going down the list. And then, like you said, the East is, like, it's getting slept on right now for sure. But I think once, like, the games start to be played, you'll see the NBA is going to be good competition throughout. But shout out to my guys getting the ring. I know they're going to be lit tonight. Got to get the dub, though. Let's get back to this conversation with Jacquez Moore. Like I said, Duke football running back. He's been like a veteran there, probably one of the oldest guys on the team. Stayed all 5 years at Duke, which got to commend him for that with the era of transfer portal and all that. What you think about this episode?
Definitely a great episode, man. Shout out Hama for connecting us. That's his cousin. But yeah, I mean, Jacquez, it was a cool interview, bro. I was really excited to do another football episode. We hadn't, you know, done something like that in a while. And especially with a high caliber player like Jacquez, I mean, he's playing for Duke that plays in the ACC, which is, you know, high level football. And he's had a pretty solid year, you know, this year. He has one touchdown on the year, but he has about 170 yards so far in the season. So, but that's in a running back room that's really, really good. Like, do you know the name of the other running back? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, Nate Shepard, I think his last name is.
Yeah, Nate Shepard. He's been bugging. I'm pretty sure he's a freshman too. But yeah, I'm really excited to see what Duke does this year. And they had a really good team, and it was a great interview, bro.
No, facts. It's tough because we were talking about the Georgia Tech game. I thought they was gonna sneak one in, but they ended up losing. It was a good game, though. I was tuned in. I feel like there's definitely some questions that's arising in the, like, they've been doing good, but Manny Diaz, I think I seen a stat that he's like 0-4 or 0-5 against AP top 25 teams. And for a school that's like trying to build that program, they're gonna need to like catch one or two of those games to actually solidify themselves as, yo, we're actually a top football program and not just a basketball school. But I read this like really cool article on CBS. I forgot who the journalist was, but it was a conversation with the athletic director, and he was just talking about like their pursuit to make the football team good again. And like, that takes a lot of effort and you got to start spending money. So I really just like respect that program because it would be easy to just like keep building the Duke basketball program, give them all the resources, but they put a real effort into this football program and it's showing, bro.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like you said, just with the Duke basketball, you know, obviously we know it's the brotherhood, right? They've put out so many NBA players, but now, you know, like you said, they're trying to, it'll be hard to change the guard within the Duke school, but at least be like, nah, Duke got a good football team too, bro. Yeah, kind of like Syracuse in a way where I feel like Syracuse will always be a basketball school, but, you know, the football team is up and coming right now. I mean, they're having a so-so year, but same idea for sure.
Not facts, but let's get into the conversation.
Really quick, last thing. I was recording during this episode in a public space, so sometimes it gets a little loud with people talking like near my camera. And also, if you're watching on YouTube, Jacquez's camera like lags sometimes. So if you notice it's a little blurry or whatever, his service was bad. But now let's actually get into the episode with Jacquez.
All right, we are here. Another episode of Not Even D2. We're here with the guy. Should I say Jacquez, Job? What would you prefer, bro?
Jacquez. I mean, really, Quez. You know, all the guys call me Swiss. You know what I'm saying? Swiss.
All right. Yeah. Where'd that come from? Swiss.
You know, like Swiss cheese, money. Like, I stand on business. You know, like, you can't go over with me. Like, that's really where it came from. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's only right we start off the convo just giving the viewers a little context how it'd be like Duke football game week. You guys got a crazy game, which we'll talk about more in a little bit, but just like go through the schedule, which I've been doing this past week. I'm interested to hear that.
For sure. So, I mean, coming off a bye week last week, you know, having some time to rest and you kind of get a jump on Georgia Tech. You know, it's kind of been keeping the main thing. You know, kind of got a little break with, like, between practices. Didn't have to wake up because it was also fall break, so no classes too. So, you know, we got to sleep in a little bit. But just being excited. I don't think we've beaten Georgia Tech in like 5 years, you know. So I think everybody's been pretty locked in. Well, I mean, we haven't beaten them since I've been here. So, but yeah, for the most part, everybody, it was like a different level of urgency, different level of locked in this week. Kind of the schedule's kind of been the same, but just like the intent of everybody has kind of been different.
It's kind of interesting. You said you've been around for like 5 years now. It's your fifth year. So yeah, five different training camps, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You've been through a couple of different. So talk about how this training camp or this season has kind of been a little bit different from the others.
I think what makes them so different than each other, especially this one, being just that it's, I've been through so many, so, you know, like, the younger guys on the team call me Unk, call me, you know, the vet, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you kind of know what to expect. I mean, and that's not to say that it gets any easier, but, I mean, you kind of know what you're stepping into. You know what the schedule is, you know the toll it's going to take on your body, you know how you need to take care of your body, and, you know, things like that. So I think, you know, going into my fifth year, you know, also, you know, coming off of last year where I really didn't play because of an injury, it was definitely a new experience, you know, like just like trying to take it day by day, not, you know, make the days count instead of counting the days type of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that really was like the biggest difference that I can notice.
Now, that's tough. Definitely going to spin back on the football talking a little bit. But I peeped in your bio that you studied African and American studies. Is that true?
Yeah, well, so I double majored in sociology and African American studies.
Okay, word. I know Duke is like a pretty good academic school. So how's that been? Or like, what's the? I'm interested to hear what the content really was in the African American studies, but also like how it's been for you being, you know, 5 years with the Duke academics, going to school, trying to be at your best football too.
You know, I mean, coming to Duke was really the best of both worlds. I mean, well, not at first, because I committed when we was, you know, pretty bad. But from the academic part, it's definitely been an experience. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a different way of learning, so to say. And I don't think I can say that because I haven't been to any other colleges, but it's like just hearing experiences of like what goes on in other universities, it just feels kind of different. You know, it's like, it's more open hands. Like they don't want you to fail out of here. You know what I mean? And so, and even though if you come to Duke, you're not going to fail out of here, but they really do push you to be your best. So I, you know, going into my fifth year academically was, you know, being able to graduate last semester, but also, you know, just still taking classes this semester is definitely like, it's different, you know, it's definitely different. But as far as African-American studies, like it was a lot, bro. It was from the Atlantic slave trade to, you know, like history of hip hop. You know, I'm in class learning about Drake, Jay-Z. It's funny, I actually took one of my African-American studies class. I took with hip-hop producer Ninth Wonder, and I was able to get his contact, and he told me to stay in touch. But that was just crazy to me, you know, like I'm really in an African-American studies course, and I'm learning about like music, something that I you know, really fascinated about. So yeah, I was, you know, it varies.
No, I was gonna say that's super tough. I love music, and the fact that they're including that in the curriculum and y'all learn about that or writing essays, that's fire, bro.
It's all clear right now. Nah, facts. But yeah, let's talk about it, bro. So Georgia Tech, they rank 12th right now in the country. It's a big time ACC matchup. Just give me, this gonna come out after the game, so just give me the rundown on like what schemes y'all trying to run, what y'all seeing in the film session, what you expecting from this game.
Honestly, without saying too much, you know, I think it's coming out and doing what we've been doing, running the rock. It's gonna be a physical game. You know, I think Georgia Tech has established themselves as a physical team. They like to dominate the trenches, but that's gonna be the kicker, because you know, I feel like we dominate the trenches every time we step on the field. So you know, I think it's just keeping the main thing, and you know, being able to run the football, because if we can run the football, then everything we want to do in the passing game is gonna open up. And so I think it's just being consistent and just sticking to who we are, you know.
100%, bro. One thing I was curious about, so you've been at Duke for the past 5 years, and I feel like the ACC has kind of risen with the Duke football program. Like when a few years ago, nobody's really talking about the ACC. Obviously you have like Clemson, that's always been like a nationally known program, but now like Georgia Tech is rising, Virginia Tech is pretty good throughout the years, but like your program has also rose. So just talk about like what that atmosphere has been like, some of the not challenges, but just like the opportunity you guys have had with the ACC rising with the Duke football program as well.
You know, I think it's like, really, you got to give credit to, you know, a lot of myself and my teammates, just because of when, you know, we've gone through three different coaches, you know, so it's you can't say that it's the coaching staff. I think it's a mentality within the players. And I think us just wanting it, you know, like, And also that trickling over to other schools, especially with the transfer portal, you know, I think it's, you're able to bring in a wide variety of guys with different types of hunger, you know, like, and it's crazy that you asked, because I was just talking about this the other day, like how it's so even around college football, especially within conferences, you know what I'm saying? And like a few years ago, it didn't used to be like that. But I think the transfer portal plays a big deal. But at Duke, I think it was more so, you know, me and my teammates like really coming together and building something deeper than football that just translated over onto the field, you know. Like what we do here, the things that we have here, you know, you're not really gonna get anywhere else, you know. And like a lot of, we firmly believe that, you know, like the brotherhood that we built, it has carried us a long way. And you know, with being a fifth year senior and this being my last year, and like, you think all the time, like, what mark do you want to leave on the program? And I think it's just keeping that brotherhood intact, you know, because I feel like that's what's driven us these last few years into being talked about when you talk about the ACC as a conference, you know. So I think just keeping that, like keeping the main thing, like, you know what the standard is, and if you're gonna be here, you got to go by it, you know.
Nah, that's a fact. I mean, you want to uphold the standard, you know, especially the coaches will try to uphold the standard, but as a player, like you said, you're a fifth year. You know, you want to reach, you know, heights that the Duke football program has never reached. You want to, you know, you yourself, you want to have a good year. So you're going to hold yourself, your teammates, the coaching staff, even to a real high standard, bro. One thing I'm wondering about. So you mentioned how you were battling through injuries last year. And was this like the kind of the first time that you had dealt with like a serious injury before in your life? Like, that's my first question before I ask you the next one.
I mean, my freshman year of high school, I had a deep thigh contusion. But at the time, nobody knew what it was. But I did miss like the last six games of my freshman year. But like true injury where I had to have surgery and like be out for a few months. Yeah, that was really my first. And to tell you the truth, it was hard, bro. Like it just like never being hurt before. You know what I'm saying? Like all I knew was football. Like all I knew was ball. I got to get up and get it. I got to hit this workout. You know what I'm saying? I got to get it hard, you know? And it was like that injury putting me down, setting me out, you know, giving me a different perspective. Like even last year, just being hurt, you know, and really like just sitting out and seeing the game from a different perspective, like not even necessarily a fan's perspective, but more so like an insider's perspective, you know, like you just got the inside scoop on everything. And it was very eye-opening, you know what I'm saying, to a lot of different things. And it made me self-correct and, you know, change a lot about myself, you know what I'm saying, because I went through a dark time. I wouldn't say it was a dark time, but I was in a dark place, you know, just dealing with a lot. And because, like, again, I've never been hurt before, you know. It was rough, man, like nights of no sleep, you know, like just wondering if I'll ever be the same again, you know, stuff like that, you know. And it was, so it took a toll on me, but, you know, being able to bounce back, being able to shake back, being able to be a better version of myself, you know, feel like I'm better than what I was before I got hurt. I mean, that's really been like my biggest like booster this year, you know, just keeping me going. Like I definitely look better than I ever have, you know. I just got to keep it going.
It's interesting, bro, because when I think about like injuries in different sports and how they may affect players, like I feel like football, like injuries are some of like, it's so tough, like dealing with injuries in football, because you really don't play that many games, number one. And it's like, let's say if you have like a sprained ankle or something like that, or like really messed up, like you must have to miss like 4 or 5 weeks. That's five games. That's half the season that you already missing, bro. And I'm like you said, that's tough mentally on yourself. But when did you feel like you were finally like making a corner in your recovery, or turning the corner in your recovery and really, you know, making good progress to be where you are today, just killing it?
I would say for me, it was right before spring ball. So I had got cleared early March, like not cleared, but I was cleared to do activities or whatever. And we had just got a new running back coach. So I was, you know, getting familiar with his indie drills and stuff like that. And I think just when I was going through the drills and I just felt myself more and more not thinking about my ankle, but thinking about my technique. And of course, it was obviously over time, because it's still hints in there like, you know, I don't want to make that step. But especially like, because I was thinking about this the other day, you know, like I haven't thought about my ankle in months. Like it hasn't even been a thought. Like even if I hit it on a corner or something and like it's tweaked out, like I don't think, I had surgery on it, you know, like, but like I think, you know, when I started just getting reps and then started seeing team reps, you know, and like now I'm going against others, like the defense again, and I'm making cuts that I used to make, you know, and it's like, okay, I'm me again, you know, and then now it's just put it together and I'll be better than what I was, you know. So that's really how I it came to be that I felt like I was better than myself, or better than my old version of myself.
Not yet. I mean, ultimately, you just got like a different perspective on how to be Jacquez, like the best running back. So, like, you just sitting on the sideline, obviously that hurts mentally, but it's also like improving your game at the same time. You're not even noticing it until you get back to full form. You like, oh shit, I remember watching this on the sideline. Now I gotta hit this cut a different way. So yeah. I definitely understand what you're saying. But like we've been saying, you've been in the Duke program for a minute, and been a lot of running backs that came through the program, a lot of good talent. But I feel like right now, y'all like probably the best that has been. You, Anderson, and Nate been having really good seasons, especially Nate, freshman, came on the scene and was just balling out. Just talk about how like this running back room differs from others, whether that's like the chemistry, how y'all building connections together. Just I'm interested to hear how y'all like competing in practice, how y'all making each other get better.
You know, I think what separates us this year is really the fact that it's majority vets in the room. So you know, a lot of 3 year, 4 year guys, you know, me being Anderson being a 6 year, me being a 5th year, you know, so, and Nate being as talented as he is, I think it's just a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom to soak up in that room. And I think because of that, everybody kind of feeds off of that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I was dealing with a little foot sprain early on in the season against NC State. And, you know, instead of being down and out about it, you know, we got the mentality in our room, next man up, you know. So, and Nate and AC handled up correctly. And when they handled up correctly, like, they got the hot hand right now, you know. So it's, you got to let you look, you know. And I think that's what keeps us going, like, knowing that anybody can go in there and pop it off and make some shake, you know. Like, so because of that, and like, because of that, we kind of keep it all going. And that's not to say that it hasn't been like that over the last previous years, but I think this year, that's what really stands out. And like, that's what's keeping the room going. Like, it's every day, it's a new like competitive edge, you know, like somebody's trying to outdo somebody on something, you know. And like, it's not being said, but it's understood, you know.
That's the biggest thing. That's cool. Like I said, we was listening to the pod, and like, from training camp, you was saying like, yo, this running back room is nice. Nate is nice. So it's cool to see y'all like dominating in the trenches. But one thing I was curious, you don't really hear much talk about, is how running backs like build a bond with the line. Cause obviously that's like probably the most important thing, like knowing who you're going to follow on certain carries, stuff like that. So I'm curious outside of the field, like what your relationship is with the linemen I do.
I mean, my old line, we kind of got a great relationship. We've been playing together. Like, I've been there, so me and Justin Pickett, the right guard, we came in together. And then the rest of the guys on the O-line besides Jordan Larson, I've been here since they were, you know, freshmen. So it's like just building that bond over the years, you know, like when I was running with the twos and they were running with the twos back in the day, and like just running behind them, giving them little tips. And it's like now, like, and also we lift together in during the off season. Like the running backs and the O-line, we all lift together. So I mean, we're always building that camaraderie, that juice every day. But yeah, it's kind of never wavered. Like, those are my guys. They know I rock with them. They, you know, they tell me all the time, "Nah, we got you. You know, we know you got us, you know." So rock with them boys to the end, man.
Nah, that's super tough. Like, I know it's a different level, but like in the NFL, when I see like QBs give their O-line, like, you know, gifts or something like that for Christmas, or the running backs hooked them up, whatever. Like, it's always cool to, like, see that type of stuff. Like, the big guys, like, getting appreciation because shit wouldn't really pop off without them, bro. You know what I mean?
You feel me, gang? Like, without them, they ain't know what, you know?
Nah, that's a fact. That one thing I'm wondering about, too, you talked about, like, how the team has kind of stayed the same almost, and, like, a lot of you guys are really having the same mindset of maybe next man up or just – attacking, you know, the ACC with like a, you know, want to dominate type of mindset. But like KJ mentioned, you guys have had, I think, 3 different coaches since you've been there at Duke. So, and I know I asked like what's been different about this past training camp and this season, but what's the biggest like culture change that you've seen in the program since Coach Diaz took over from the other two other coaches?
I would say like the biggest culture change would be basically like, I want to word this right, like the culture really, like, and don't take this wrong when I say this, but like the culture really hasn't changed much, because I feel like we have like such a player led team because we've had so many coaches, you know what I mean? Like when our first coach got fired, like my class, it was like we kind of banded together. Like, you know what I'm saying? Nobody left. Like, we didn't know what to expect. You know, we were coming off a 2-9 season. You know what I'm saying? But like, and just seeing how like a lot of the older guys who like, because a lot of our team didn't leave after our head coach after the first one got fired. So like, seeing how they kind of embraced us and was like, okay, whoever comes in, bro, like, we're tired of losing. We got to go to work. You know, so and kudos to our strength coach David Feely, because I think when he came in and he kind of flipped everybody's mentality, you know, I think that also helped, you know, within the culture, because now it's a, you know, I don't care, I got to get it out the sewer type, you know what I'm saying? And it's like everybody around you has that mentality, you know, so it's like you're holding people, like you holding dudes accountable. And it's like it's crazy because you never really, like, I don't think you really see this at other places, you know, like where everybody's trying, like, yes, of course, everybody got the same dream, but everybody got the same goal, same mindset. Like, we're all working towards one thing, you know, like, I ain't gonna lie, our workouts are intense, bro. Like, very intense. Like,
that's tough.
Like, you really think we're Marine training. That's how intense it is, you know? So it's like going through that with, like, bro, I like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got a dude right here, he from Wisconsin, I'm from Florida, you know what I'm saying? Two different backgrounds, two different, you know, but it's like, he knows I'm not going to let him fail, and I know he's not going to let me fail, you know? And I think that, like, that being the culture, like, regardless of who comes in, even if Coach, like, not saying like that he is or anything, but even if Coach Diaz was to get fired or leave, like, I feel like the culture would be the same, you know, because it's a player-led team. Like, we push each other to greatness. Like, we don't allow it to come from any outside, you know. So we kind of play that.
It's kind of like you said, like, you don't see that in every program. I'm not saying that this is, like, apples to apples, but, like, Nick Saban left Bama, and everybody talks about how it's not the same program no more. And obviously Nick Saban's, like, one of the best, but you still see that, like, it wasn't a player led, like, he was controlling that culture. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but just saying, yeah, to your point, like, sometimes the player led is actually more impactful than just a coach, because now, even if, like you said, Diaz left, y'all would still be competing, like, in the ACC, yeah, trying to get a chip. I'm kind of curious, does the schedule, like, change week to week for y'all, or is it relatively the same? But if so, I'm just trying to get some clarity on how y'all schedule actually is, because I know as a football player, like, especially with school, it can be OD.
It's kind of the same week to week. Like, only thing that'll probably change about it is if we got an away game, we might leave on Friday. Like, it's like we get Monday off because, like, that's our legal off day, you know. Practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, walk through Friday. And then if we leave on Fridays, we practice in the morning. But if we don't, we'll practice in the afternoon and just hit the hotel, like, bus to the hotel afterwards. But and then Sunday, you come in, you know, watch some film, correct, get treatment, you know.
So, like, usually when you hear about Duke, obviously your first thoughts is basketball. And I feel like even that is kind of changing now that y'all have had some success. But I'm kind of curious how, like, the Duke basketball brand or narrative kind of impacts the football team, whether that's, like, y'all just lit to go to the games, if y'all got any connection. I know Cooper Flagg was over there last year. Just talk about, like, the impact that the basketball team or their reputation has on y'all.
Especially, like, you made a good point, especially, like, with us being on the come up, I think our collaboration, our networking with Duke basketball has definitely gotten better over the years. I think, like you said, like, Duke basketball itself brings, like, notoriety to Duke, you know? So, and, like, now because we have a good football team, I think it kind of just correlates. Like, now we're, like, one of them schools with, like, best of both worlds, you know, like Alabama, you know, because, like, Alabama's basketball team recently has been coming up and, you know, it's been good. So, but I think Duke basketball spotlight definitely, like, at first was definitely low-key kind of hogging the spotlight, you know, because Duke football wasn't matching the intensity, matching the brand. But now that I feel like Duke football is up and coming and is trying to match what Duke basketball brings, you know, I think it's crazy. And, you know, even the players, like, when, like, my freshman year, you know, that freshman basketball class, it was Paolo Banchero, Trevor Keels, Jalen Blakes, Adrian Griffin. And I was cool with all of those guys. You know, me and Paolo's keep in touch today. Me and Jalen too. Trev, I was talking to Trev a couple weeks ago. He was down in Durham, or he was back down here in Durham. So, you know, like, just having those connections, you know, like, real friendships. Like, you know, some people think that, like, you just talk to these guys just because of who they are. But it's like, nah, like, I really hung out with these dudes, you know. Like, me and Paolo done played 2K, you know. Me and Trevor done kicked it in the whip, you know. Like, these are some real genuine guys. And it's like, I don't know, it's definitely been an experience in itself, too, you know. Like, hanging with Paolo and then watching bro get drafted over, like, first overall. Like, you know, that was definitely crazy. That was definitely crazy.
Hey, who was winning them 2K games real quick? I gotta ask.
Who was winning? He was. I ain't gonna lie, he was sweat, bro. He was sweat. Like, he wanted them, he stand up the whole game, like, regardless. You know what I'm saying? Like, And he already tall, so like, yeah, you feel me?
Hey, bro, honestly, if I was him, I would be. I couldn't lose to a football player, bro. I would try my hardest too. I'm not gonna lie.
Nah, like but he was trying his hardest, like with everybody though. Like he was really on one. Sam was really popping it though. I ain't gonna lie.
Yo, I wanted to bring this up too, like with Duke football. Like looking at some of the alumni, like you guys have had some players in the NFL the last couple of years too. So that's like also contributing to like the notoriety of like the Duke football program. Like, you know, obviously like Daniel Jones, he was a top five pick, so everyone knows him, and he's killing right now in Indianapolis. But I know Michael Carter II, I think he was there. I think he left in 2021 maybe. But he's like Jake Bobo too. I think he played with the Seahawks last year or 2 years ago. But now, like a lot of great players coming out of Duke still, you know, going and make it to the league.
Most definitely, yeah. Like Jake Bobo was my locker mate, and me and Mike be on 2K all the time, man. But I think, like you said, man, I think just having that pipeline of Duke to the league, because it wasn't this deep before I got here, you know. But like having more guys with Stain in the league, like former captain Dwayne Carter, another former captain Jacob Monk. We had a first rounder last year or 2 years ago. Graham Barton plays center for the Bucks. And, you know, like sharing a facility with these guys day in and day out. You know what I'm saying? Like knowing how they go to work. You know, like I don't watch like dying with my boy Jacob while we running sprints. You know what I'm saying? Like seeing it from both sides. It's like, man, like. It's crazy, but it really gives you the perspective. Like, man, it's available. You know, it's there. It's opportunity. You know, opportunity to be took. You know, like, so you just got to and knowing that I'm doing exactly what they did, and it's like, you know, if I keep doing it, I'm gonna be there one day too. You know,
word, that's fire, bro. This is my last question about the ACC, but obviously, like, there's some pretty big, like, schools. Clemson gets lit. Cuse even gets lit for football. I'm just curious if you could talk about some of your favorite environments, like specific games, like walking out to the field, what you've seen, how loud it was, shit like that.
So, I mean, okay, I'll talk about this year and then my personal favorite. So this year, I would say Syracuse probably was the best environment we played in so far. Being able to silence that crowd felt pretty good. I know we go to Clemson as well.
My cousin on that team. For real? I'm big jacking him though. Terrell.
Terrell, what number? Corner. What number?
Corner.
Corner.
Hold on, I got you.
Yeah, I ain't like, I know numbers.
Eight.
Oh, damn. Okay, that's a bet. That's a bet. He be out.
No, he's tough. He's tough.
Yeah, he'd be out there for real.
I think my fam going to that game too. So
I heard that environment is crazy. But like if I had to pick one time, like a personal favorite or a personal favorite would be Florida State. Florida State environment is ridiculous. Doug Campbell is ridiculous. Like, so I never visited a game as a kid. So going back there when we played in 2023, that was my first time, and it's ridiculous, bro. Like Florida State at its peak, you can't hear nothing. Absolutely nothing. Like, you can't hear, like, somebody standing right next to you, you can't hear him, like nothing, bro, nothing. A sneaky crowd that gets loud, I wouldn't say it's crazy loud, but it gets loud. Louisville's crowd definitely gets somewhat kind of loud, but it's sneaky though, you know, like, it's like, you know, like them popping parties, like when like somebody or like a pop at a baseball game, like somebody hit a home run or something, and it's like that pop of the crowd. That's what Louisville sounds like, but it's way louder.
Louisville good this year too.
Yeah, Louisville are decent. Man, the ACC is deep this year, bro. Man. This back half of the season is going to determine a lot for a lot of teams, man. It's deep, bro. I think we can make some noise though. We can make some shit shake.
One thing I'm wondering about, bro, you talked about it in the Devil Up podcast, the different football states and who got the best football players coming out. Yo, I'm not gonna lie, when y'all was talking about North Carolina, and you was like, y'all boys don't ball down there in North Carolina, man. We not worried about y'all. Like it was just kind of funny. So talk about, you know, just some of the top states that you think produce like some of the best football players.
Okay. Top, I'm gonna say 1A. I'm gonna say 1A, 1B, and 1C because it could be either one. Texas, Georgia, like 1A, 1B, and 1C. Then if I had to do a 2, I would say Like Bama, Purdue, Bama produce sneaky talent, bro.
No Cali?
Cali got talent, but Cali got quarterbacks though. You feel me? Cali
and receivers though. And receivers though.
Yeah, good receiver. I'll definitely put Cali as no lower than three. No lower than three. No lower than three. Because Cali do got some dogs out there. And in four, I low-key might put Jersey. Jersey got some ballers.
So that word, I didn't even know that. But that's tough because they really like that in basketball too.
Like that whole like that DMV area up there, like DC, Maryland, like they all that up there. I'll put them at fourth fourth, and then North Carolina would be my fifth. If I had to do a top five, that would be my top five. Because North Carolina, like they not bad, but it's like. It's a lot of ball here. You get what I'm saying? So it's like the comp varies, you know? Like in Florida, regardless if you're playing at a 2A school or a 5A school, you're going to see some comp, you know? And I feel like Georgia, you're going to see comp. Texas, you see comp. Jersey, you're going to see some comp. You know, DC, DMV, you see comp. You know, Cali, you definitely see it. You know, like I think it varies. Like I think, but it's, yeah, it's my top five.
Nah, it's a pretty solid top five, honestly. I was wondering if you're going to say Jersey, because I heard Jersey on a come up low key. And I'm wondering if there's like an underrated state you think that's out there that produces some good talent.
Underrated? I would say what I've seen, Virginia. Virginia produced crazy talent, but it's like you don't really hear about them until like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, where are you from, Virginia? Are you from, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay.
Yeah.
Valid, you know, Virginia is definitely that state.
Hey, definitely. UVA having a good year this year too, if I'm not mistaken.
UVA look good.
Not for sure.
But watching them play, they look good. Look better than they have.
Not for sure. They got some good dubs, bro, already. But I think this is our last question, bro, before we get into rapid fire, and we got this little segment called Starting Five, but. So for the last question, bro, I'm just kind of wondering, just watching your style, I just want you to describe your running back style to like the viewers, and who are some running backs that you like model your game after that, you know, really give you inspiration?
Yeah. So when it comes to my style, I had a lot of time to think about this over the offseason. You know, I think playing running back to be, you know, one of them ones, you kind of got to have your own style, you know? And I think what I bring to the game is a little bit of everything, you know? And to follow into that, like running backs, like I kind of like to help work on my game, I kind of take bits and pieces from everybody. You know, I think like when I was real young, I used to watch Dalvin Cook a lot, you know? So like using his vision, his elusiveness, seeing, oh, how did he break that? Okay. And then just translating that into my game. Or another one for me was Le'Veon Bell, you know, his patience, but his ability to also hit it in an instant. You know what I'm saying? I think that that's very, very similar to my game or something that I took. When it came to like, I've never been, you know, the shake shimmy type, but when it came to LeSean McCoy, just being able to like make somebody miss and go, you know, like I think that's something that's big in my games, being able to make somebody miss and get yak, you know. I think that's a big thing about being a running back, being able to produce after the catch, right? You know what I'm saying? After contact. But trying to think what else. I try to keep it simple, because when you start trying to do like a lot like everybody else, and start losing, you know, saying your feel, your style, you know. Like one thing I kind of do is I'm not gonna say I hop. I study ball enough to the like I anticipate everything, you know what I'm saying. So like one thing that's kind of flaws in my game, because I anticipate so much, I might anticipate that he might block him one way and then he doesn't, and then at that point, like I just gotta react, you know. And I think that's where like studying Dalvin Cook and watching him react, you know what I'm saying, watching him anticipate when it's not there, react in the moment and make something happen, you know. But I think that's kind of what, you know, my game is. I think it's kind of a little combination of a little bit of everything, but also like my own style, my own, you know, swiftness to it.
I feel like the 2010s in the NFL, like the running backs is OD, like Dalvin Cook, Le'Veon Bell, but they wasn't valued the same way how they were supposed to be. So now, like, you don't even see them dudes in the league no more. But I was a big Le'Veon Bell fan. Steelers, that's really why I'm a Steelers fan, Ruta. It's Le'Veon Bell, seeing his patience, but that shit just crazy. But this is our last question before we get into rapid fire. So obviously, like, you in your last year, having a pretty good year yourself, coming off injury, still a lot of the season to go, but what's the future look like for Jacquez, bro?
You know, hopefully finish it off strong, finish it off with a few championships. And then, man, just set out for the league, bro, go off and train. Ain't really put in, like, the specifics or the details of, you know, got into everything yet, but definitely want to, you know, go train and get my body right for then just to give myself an opportunity at the next level, bro. Like, I feel like I'm a league back. I feel like I can make a difference now, whether that's special teams or backing up your main dude. You know what I'm saying? I think I can come in and be that spark that your team needs. If you get down and you just need somebody to come in and 40 yards here, 20 yards here, you know, I think I can be that guy. You know, I think it's just, you know, staying down for me and staying humble, you know, and giving it all to God, you know what I'm saying? Because without him, there is no me, there is no this, you know? So I think just staying down, staying in my Bible and taking it day by day, you know, not looking too far ahead into the future, but not dwelling on the past, but taking each opportunity as it comes and making the most of it.
Nah, bro, I love that answer. And we, you know, KJ and I are definitely rooting for you. I know we talked about, you know, my boy Hammer off air, but, you know, you family with him. So that makes us family too, bro. Hammer's my guy for sure. let's get into rapid fire, though, before we end this episode. Bro, you ready?
Bet. Let's go. Let's get it.
All right. So first rapid fire question I got for you. So I always ask this question sometimes, like, who's the funniest teammate? But I'm going to switch it up this time. What is the funniest, like, position group on the team?
Funniest position group? Angle, like, gang, if it's not the receivers, it's definitely the DNs, bro. Like, the DN, they just so deep, bro, and there's so many different personalities, gang. Like, the DN room is hilarious, bro. Definitely. Nah. But the receivers, I rock with our young receivers, bro. Them guys funny, bro.
Nah, I was going to say, my guess would have been for your answer would have been O-line, too. I met some funny O-linemen over the past couple years.
Yeah, the O-line funny, bro. They do stuff, and it just don't make sense. But you know what I'm saying? Like, our freshmen do stuff, and, like, it just don't make sense. It was like, at a point in time, it don't even be funny no more, bro. Like, lock in, bro.
That sounds about right for sure. Next rapid fire question. Outside of Duke, who got the best jerseys in the ACC?
Best in the ACC? Who are we playing? Okay. I would probably have to give it to Louisville.
They're Adidas, right? Louisville? Huh? Louisville's, yeah, Adidas, right?
Yeah, I think Louisville is Adidas.
That's fire. Yeah, they got red jerseys, the white. I think they got black too, right?
Yeah, they got gray and gold. They got all types, bro. Yeah, I'm rocking Louisville jerseys.
And then last rapid fire question. Who was, like, another running back that, like, Duke football went against? Obviously, you didn't, like, tackle him or nothing like that. But, like, who was another running back in the ACC that you were always like, nah, he's legit. Like, I'm going to keep, like, stay connected with him or keep watching his game?
That's still playing in ACC now, or that just that I played against in my career?
Played against in your career.
Damn, it's been a couple of them. So, Amarion Hampton from UNC would probably be my biggest, like, I watched him shred our defense. Well, I ain't gonna say shred, but I watched him, you know, put pain in against our defense each year. And each year he got another level of respect from me, you know? crazy, this made my freshman year, we played against Jahmyr Gibbs when he was at Georgia Tech. Yeah.
Demon.
And watching that in person was crazy. Watching that and break him is crazy, but
nah, that's tough.
Yeah, definitely. If I had to choose one from right now, I would say I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but the guy from Wake Forest, the dude at Wake Forest right now, I got a lot of respect for him because he's been doing it as long as I have, and he's balling, bro, balling.
Yeah, I'm gonna see them real soon. Yeah. But, I got a rapid fire too. I usually don't do one, but what's I'm feeling the vibes right now that you're gonna score on Saturday. So give me a sneak peek on what the celly about to be.
What the celly about to be, gang? I ain't even had a celly like.
No, you gotta have one, bro. You gotta have one.
Gang, I don't even know. I might. I don't even know. Man. Like, I ain't even got nothing picked out. Like, I might just
hand the ball. You be tapped on the TikTok or nah?
Huh?
Nah, you can't just do something simple like that. You be on the TikTok or not?
Nah, I be tapped in, but I ain't, I don't really be. Oh, you know what I might do? I might go dab the ref up and hit that. Yeah. I might do something, man. I gotta do something.
Nah, that's what I'm saying, bro. But when you score, I'm gonna be hyped seeing that celly though too. I need to see some. But we gonna end this episode. So we usually do basketball and it'd be like a starting five, but this one we gonna do your running back. So you gotta build your ideal offensive line to run behind. So start from the left side, go to the right side, and tell me like their names and where you play with them at. So it could be all years of Duke and high school.
Okay, bet. So at left tackle, I'm gonna go my boy Graham Barton.
Okay.
I'm gonna put Graham at left tackle. Why Graham was a dog. Running behind Graham is fun. Like, we have fun running
instant behind hole.
Left guard, I'm going to put my left guard, who am I going to put? Give me Jacob Monk. I played with him in 23 was his last year, actually. Mark at my left guard. At my center, give me Brian Parker. Yeah. Y'all making me build like a real deal. Yeah, give me Brian Parker. My he's assumed to be first rounder, you know.
Okay, that's tough.
At my right guard, give me who do I want to play on my right guard? Give me Justin Pickett. Give me my boy Pick. I'll put Pickett on my right guard.
Heard.
Pick the dog. And then in my right tackle, I gotta go with my boy Dre Harris. Dre got some nice feet, bro. I'm telling you, Dre got some nice feet. That's my all-time. Like, if I had to run behind the O-line right now, that's those are five.
You rushing for 100 a game at that point.
I might go for 200 a game with that O-line. I just, you know what I mean?
Nah, that's tough. But that's going to do it for another episode of Not Even D2. We appreciate you getting on, bro. Like we said, we tapped into the journey. And good luck this weekend, bro.
Appreciate you, gang. Appreciate you, bro.
That's going to do it for our conversation with Jacquez Moore. Definitely a fire episode. Got great insight into the Duke program, which was cool to hear. He's been like the oldest guy and he's seen their trajectory rise. Like probably with him too as a player, like freshman year, not really knowing much. And then as he continues to develop, so is the Duke football program. So that's got to be a good feeling. But what do you think about this episode? Reflect on it.
Definitely a great episode. You know, it was just interesting to hear his journey, you know, throughout playing 5 years in college football and the grind that is dealing with injuries, how he processed that, and, you know, how he just adjusted to, you know, that high major type of lifestyle, bro. It's completely different from anything other, you know, any other type of level, you know, the commitment, the what you got to put into your body. And, you know, Jacquez is an example of that, bro. And I'm really wishing him the best. Honestly, I really hope that he could, you know, get to the show. I really think he can. So really excited to see what he does in his future, bro, for real.
Yeah, bro. I mean, like, to talk about the football aspect of it, Jacquez is a guy that could be a backup down or like a third down back or a backup to the first string because he's mad strong. He's quick as hell. That's one thing you can notice off his film. And then he's saying, like, I study ball a lot. So even if he's not, like, killing this year, I could see him getting into a training camp and a coach be like, yo, this kid is something I want to keep around my my franchise, or whatever the case may be. But definitely hoping he gets in the right situation, because, like I said, he's got talent, bro, and he's going to keep getting better.
He also said, like, I'm a football player, you know what I mean? And that's what a lot of coaches is looking for. Like, yeah, he could play running back, but really, you know, he's really built for anything. Like you said, football player. He could play whatever position you want him to play. He's going to play hard, and he just wants to win.
Nah, yeah, but that's going to do it for our conversation. Make sure you go check us out on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, whatever socials. We got a lot of content coming out. Make sure you go catch our most recent episodes. We dropped the associate head coach of Santa Clara, lead recruiter for Jalen Williams, Harvard women's basketball coach. We got Duncan Robinson a few weeks ago. Got a lot of good episodes coming out soon, too. So make sure you subscribe, go follow us, and we'll see you next week.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.